Hello and welcome to the D1 Softball Podcast. I'm your host, Tara Henry, joined by Rhiannon Putke. If you're a huge college softball fan, you're in the right place. We can't wait to share the weekly D1 softball news, bring you interviews from all over the country, provide in-season game analysis, the top 25, and much, much more. Stick around. Hello and welcome to episode 15 of the D1 Softball Podcast. I'm Tara Henry, joined by Rhiannon Putke. Rhi, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing okay. It's a little colder here, but I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. I think it's the exact opposite here on the West Coast. It's very hot here. So we've had fires kind of pick back up again, and we're dealing with some Santa Ana winds. So maybe if we could figure out how to marry the two weathers from your end and my end, we'd be in good shape.
Yeah, maybe if we meet in like Kansas or something and then exchange, you know, like right in the middle, we could figure that out. But yeah.
Other than that, we've had a couple of news items this week in the softball world. The biggest one on the docket is the NFCA convention, which began this morning. We're taping this podcast on a Wednesday, and opening remarks were at 11:30 Eastern time. They've got loads of programming scheduled for the next 3 days, all virtual, and excited that they're bringing coaches together from the D1 level, D2, D3, JC, you've got club coaches, you've got international coaches, just a great time to bring everybody together. Even though we can't all be together in the same place, at least we can do it virtually.
Yeah, they got some really great panels there. Just about anything you could imagine is a topic of discussion. It's a great resource for, any level of coaching. And they got some heavy hitters. I see that, Donna over at UNC, she brought in Anson Dorrance, who's like, obviously anyone, if you don't, then you need to learn. But he's like the greatest college soccer coach in the history of mankind. And just such a wizard and so much insight. So I'm really excited about that one because his knowledge is amazing, his leadership and everything. So that's going to be fun for the softball coaches to pick his brain. But just everything you can imagine they have topics for. So yeah, check that out, NFCA convention. You have to obviously enroll and get scheduled, but if you can do that, I'd highly recommend it for any coach at any level because you'll learn so much.
Yeah, we've got two father-daughter duos that went today in Mike White and Nyree White, and then Marty Tyson and Tori Tyson. So Mike and Nyree were speaking about pitching today, and then you get Tori and Marty speaking about building blocks of a hitter. So like Rhi said, you've got loads of content on there, just lifelong learners. I think all coaches are engaged and ready to go and just learn from one another. And I think that's what's so great about the NFCA. And I'm just glad they were able to put this together. I know it's been a lot of work for them, but they've got loads of content on there. So if you can, like Rhi said, sign up and just become a lifelong learner, as most coaches are. And other news, we've got fall reports out on d1softball.com. Rhi, talk to me a little bit about the two fall reports that went out this week. We've got NC State. And who was our other fall report that you threw out this week?
You don't remember the, God, it was that compelling that Missouri's season was, it was Missouri. I'm sure you don't even read my fall report.
I do read your fall report.
Okay, I'm just kidding. I know you do because we talked about it. And you're a subscriber, which everyone should subscribe to read them. And I know you're a subscriber. I had NC State, which was awesome. Just always enjoy talking to that staff and Jennifer over at NC State. Really, really, she's really excited about the season. I love that she just embraces the basically like, chicks dig the long ball. She's all about the home run. They've got a really deep pitching staff, which they really haven't had before. So she's excited about kind of marrying those two. That's a good one to check out. There's a lot of information in there. All the, any ACC Wolfpack fan, anyone should check that out. Cause they did some really cool off season stuff, during quarantine to keep the team together and things of that nature. So, and then Missouri, Larissa Anderson, head coach, is always fun to talk to. I mean, she's just a dynamo when it comes to that stuff. It's hard to keep up sometimes because she has so many cool thoughts that I want to stick it all in. And there's a lot in the Missouri one. they've got like a 32 player roster, and she said that's normal for them, which was like, wow, I didn't realize. Until this year, you don't really ask about roster sizes too much, you know, but this year you do. For them, that's not abnormal. She's had that since she started at Missouri, and she knows how to balance that. And they had only one senior leave, so the rest came back, and that wasn't surprising given, you know, that when they were going through those sanctions for the NCAA postseason ban, no one left. So you would think the culture's good if that is the case. So we go into detail more about that, how that's, you know, how just who they have back and what she's excited about. So those are the two that are up. And I know we'll be posting some more throughout this week, so you'll want to check it out, d1softball.com. Subscribe. This is your chance. You know, if you want information, if you want to be informed about the season, man, these things are so, I'm learning so much by talking to these coaches every day.
Yeah, and Virginia Tech will be published as well. So we're looking at the Hokies with Keely Richard, who Keely last year was our number one pitcher on the D1 softball's top pitchers of 2020. So check out that Virginia Tech report with Pete D'Amore down there at Virginia Tech. And with that said, we're going to go straight into our interview. Ree, this was actually a big news this week as well. So who do we have this week joining us?
Yeah, well, we, you know, the coaching dominoes that fell in Southern California as everyone kind of transitioned jobs. We got the last one, as of now, the last one to hire, Cal State Northridge. And it's a name many people will remember if you're softball fans, Charlotte Morgan, the Alabama stud star. So she spoke with her and have a story on our site about that that you can check out that digs deep into some stuff that we're going to, you know, kind of glance upon in this. But there's going to be new stuff in there you'll want to read. But she is going to come on right now with us and talk about getting this new job, talk about just, you know, her time in Alabama. And it's just a really, really fun person to talk to, and really, I'm really excited to see what she can do there. She's a Southern California native, so she's coming home. And that was a big reason, you know, is that this job was appealing, is to be close to family. She had already come back to SoCal. So we're going to talk to her about the challenges and what she's looking forward to. And we're pleased to be joined by new Cal State Northridge head coach, Charlotte Morgan. Her hiring was announced on Monday. For all you softball fans, you know that she was a former three-time All-American in Alabama. Also, the Senior Lowe's Class Award winner, which to me is one of the coolest awards you can get because it's more about what you do on the field and in the classroom and off the field. So she entered college coaching pretty right after she graduated. She was in the pro leagues when she took her first job. She was pitching coach at Maryland, Georgia Tech, Oklahoma State, UTA. And she was serving as a volunteer assistant at Cal State Fullerton this fall before this job came open at Northridge, and threw her hat in the ring and got hired for her first Division I head coaching job. So thank you so much for making the time to chat with us, Charlotte. Welcome to the D1 Softball Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, let's start out with how does it feel to get that job and to know when you know, now you're officially – you got all the paperwork done. You're the official head coach at Cal State Northridge. How are you feeling right now to get that job? Be back in Southern California, coaching close to home, and be a Division I head coach.
You know, it's pretty awesome. It's a whirlwind right now. You know, I think every head coach kind of will tell you that right when they get a new job. So, trying to keep up with everything, and but you know, it's awesome. I'm excited. The school has been amazing. Everyone that has reached out to me at CSUN has been awesome. And so, you know, couldn't really ask for a better welcoming this week. And the team, we're starting to meet too. So I'm excited to get to know them and excited for them to be able to have a face for their program. And, you know, knowing that now they don't have to wait anymore for a head coach. So it's been exciting. I'm thrilled to be back home. I'm thrilled to be local and, you know, come back to where my roots are. And it's really like a dream come true being able to be a head coach at a Division I program in a great conference in Southern California.
Yeah, we have an article up on D1 Softball. You were saying you feel like there's a lot of postseason potential. There's chances to make this pro. You're obviously in a fertile recruiting ground, as we all know, with Southern California players. with such a short runway compared to a lot of other coaches, you know, obviously everything's kind of up in the air with everything in life right now, but what are the immediate plans to kind of prepare for the season with that short runway to get up and going? Cause you obviously, you know, you wouldn't have maybe had fall workouts anyways, but you know, you have less time to kind of prepare, get a staff together. What's the immediate plans for you?
You know, for me, one, you know, get a staff together as soon as possible. You know, obviously there's always steps for that. So I'm getting a staff in that I trust. And then, you know, right now it's trying to hit the ground running with the team. I think that's the biggest thing of, you know, I missed a long time to be able to get to know them, you know? And so, right now we're going to do our best to get to know each other, to, get them to trust me. And for, you know, that's, I think, probably the biggest thing as a new head coach is getting the team to trust you. And if they trust you, they'll buy into you. And so, that's my biggest thing right now is getting to know them, getting them to really learn me too, and my family and my daughter. And, so that's what our goal is right now, and start team building, start growing together so that as soon as season and they can get back to campus, you know, when we get the clearance, that we feel like we already know each other, and that we can start, you know, getting into practices, and, you know, they feel like they've already heard me, even though, hey, it might've only been a month of knowing me or a couple weeks. That's my biggest job right now is to get the team and us as one group. And, that's my plan. And I plan to try to do as much as we can virtual, since that's all we can do, you know, and keep it fun for them. You know, our kids have been virtual since March. So, you know, I know they're tired. I know they're over it. So trying to keep it short, sweet, fun, interactive, which is trying to challenge me too, as a coach, you know, okay, I got to think out of the box too right now. So, those are kind of the things I'm trying to do and, you know, get going, and, I'm excited, but again, just getting us as one group and trust each other. And, then once season comes, if we have that, then we have a good groundwork.
One of the cool parts I thought you know, that you told me when we spoke was that Tiara Flowers, who obviously took the Loyola Marymount job, and she was the Cal State Northridge coach, she's been nice in helping you, and you've kind of talked to her about it. And so I'm sure that's kind of helped you maybe to get a little insight into the players in the program. Can you kind of talk about what you know, just how her help has kind of given you maybe just some more insight that you might not have had if it was, you know, someone else that just didn't really care enough to give back like that?
Yeah. You know, I think, you know, these were her kids, you know, she recruited them. They've been here. I mean, some are fifth year. So anytime you take another job, you always feel like you leave a piece behind, you know? And so I know these kids still mean a lot to her. And, you know, I'm thankful to have a relationship with her where we can talk. And, she's been so helpful on so many things, you know, with the program, with me for coming out there. And so just having that has helped me. And I think too, is going to in turn help the team, knowing, okay, you know, they still loved her and respected her as their coach, you know? And so to know that I'm coming in and having that same level of respect for Tariah is, I think, will go a long way with the team, and them knowing that, there is that relationship, you know, and I'm not just going to try to come in and be completely different or whatever. I think giving them a little of that consistency is going to help me, also build their trust with me. And so, it is such a little time, and, you know, I'm so thankful for my new job, my first job, to have a coach that's like, hey, I'm here. Any questions, let me know. Like, I don't think many head coaches could say that the previous head coach told them that, you know? And so to have that is pretty amazing. And I'm thankful that, you know, she has been really open arms and been there for anything that I need.
Now, it's amazing. It's been more than a decade since you played at Alabama. It does not seem that long. I was shocked when I was at eight. So I was like, wow, that's crazy to me. It feels like just yesterday, but we had some really interesting chats about, you know, how does your own career at Alabama influence your coaching, whether it be just, you know, from as a player, or like we talked about, the mentorship with Coach Patrick Murphy, like what he's done? How does that influence you as a coach, or how have you noticed it influence you as a coach?
It's probably had way more impact probably as a coach, and I think sometimes as a player. And what we talked to, you know, I, as a player, I was a little hard-nosed. I probably didn't listen to some of quite a bit of the things he was trying to get us to do, you know. I was that athlete that pushed back. But, you know, it's crazy that when I left, it's like everything that I kind of do was what I was taught there. And it's like, even though I thought I wasn't listening, yeah, you really was listening, you know. And so there's so much that I take. I think that he, you know, that program, he's taught us to be selfless, to think of others, to think of the community, to think of the family, the tradition, you know, all of these things that, you know, maybe me coming in, I was just like softball, you know, I'm an athlete, I'm going to come out, I'm going to grind, I'm going to go out, I'm going to work, I'm going to go hard. And that's it, you know, but no, there's so much more to a person than just the field. And so he spends a lot of time, that program spends a lot of time for off the field stuff. And I take that into my coaching day to day. And I have really kind of looked back, I'm like, God, I sound like him, you know? And it's like crazy. It's like when they say to your parents, you become them, right? And so I think, you know, I use so many of those things on and off. And being a two-way player has been something really good for me. You know, I was in the bullpen, I was, you know, offense, and then I played, I was our first baseman. So, you know, from that standpoint, I was able to get every aspect of the game. I came in as an outfielder. A lot of people don't know that. He didn't know I played first, and I was not cutting it in right field. I was terrible. I couldn't do the sun thing. And the last individual my freshman year, he's like, okay, we're going to try you at first base. And I'm like, he's like, because you're a lefty. And I'm like, you know, I played there, right, my whole life. He's like, no, I never saw you there one time in travel ball. I said, well, Kristen couldn't really go anywhere, so I would just play right field because Rosie, our other catcher, you know, would have to hit. And he's like, seriously? And I'm like, yeah. So, you know, that day I went and had an individual with Allie at first base, and I beat out our junior starter, and Danny ended up going to the outfield. And I never had to see outfield a day again, and I was so thankful. Yeah, so, you know, it's crazy how things happen like that. But yeah, so, you know, I think obviously my playing experience will help me, but I take so much of the stuff that he taught me off the field. And I take that into how I coach and how I teach and how I feel like I connect to my players. And, you know, I think doing that, that's how you have good programs and you have good people and you stay around for a long time because, you know, you're not just focused on the athletic side of things.
Yeah. It's amazing how much I think we spoke, like you say, you when, you know, time and distance, you kind of think, wait, now is that Boston?
Yeah.
Hey, Boston, we've got a special guest with us. It's your 2-year-old daughter, Boston, that we heard. And it's funny, I was going to ask you, because I'm a little biased because I am a fan of the Boston area sports teams. So I asked you and I didn't get in the story because I want to save it for the podcast. How did you end up naming your daughter? Can you kind of take us through that story? Give us that background.
Yeah, I couldn't find a girl name to save my life. I always wanted a boy. So I had a boy name picked out, you know, and of course I get the girl. And one day, you know, I'm a Boston Red Sox fan. I always say I have a national and, you know, American team. And I loved how the Red Sox play. I love Big Poppy and I'm number 34. He was a big hitter. Led Manny Ramirez, Dustin Pedroia. So one day, I think I was like 8 months pregnant, 7-8 months. And I was like, what about Boston? And call her Boss. Like, she's going to be this big power hitter. Like, that's in my mind, you know, watch. She's going to be this like little petite dancer. But I'm like, dude, Boss. Like, I wanted something strong, but not too crazy. And I was like, Boston is a super cute girl name, you know, and call her Boss. And everyone that I'm there like, yeah, that's awesome. And so that's how her name came. And I can't wait to take her to Boston to show her really where her name came from. And yeah. And it's unique for her.
Yeah. Well, if you have another child, Fenway's always open too. You could kind of have the twin thing. You know,
I was thinking Brooklyn, you know, the Brooklyn Dodgers were there before. Brooklyn would be a cute.
Yeah. Cause that's your National League. You're a Dodger. Cause you were, you grew up Dodger.
Yeah. Boston and Brooklyn would be cute.
Had some good years between those two teams to celebrate a lot of titles. So, well, that is awesome. That's now is in terms of, you know, when we go back to your time in Alabama, we're obviously D1 softball podcast, huge. What about your like memories? Is there one particular memory from your time as an athlete that really resonates with you? That you feel like just, you know, was the college experience, if you were to try to encapsulate it and tell it to someone or a person that's considering college, what memory maybe that sticks out the most?
You know, I think for me, one of my biggest moments, I was a tough athlete. Everyone knows, sometimes. And, my senior year, Murph came up and they asked me, I used to hit on my own all the time and do a lot of my own stuff. And he's like, you know, it would be good for you to work with other people too sometimes, you know? And, so we had one of our players, she was struggling a little bit. Her name was Jen Fenton. And, he's like, just take her to the tee and just work with her a little bit, you know? And I'm like, okay. So we worked on the tee a little bit. I saw, you know, we worked on a couple little adjustments, and we go out that next day or that week, and I think we're playing LSU. She hits a walk-off home run and we win the game. And when she came running around, she like pointed at me, and I still get the chill to this day, because like what he told me was, you know, no matter your success, when you help others and they succeed, it's a different feeling, Char. And it happened. And, you know, that hits me so much, because I wish I would have been more open to my teammates my whole career. But I really, that moment and knowing what difference I made and her getting, yeah, you know, before I was like, I want the home run, you know, I want to be the one to win the game. I want you to want me to want be there. But then it's like seeing her do it and have that, it was just like, wow, he was right, you know? And that moment always sticks in my mind, because I feel like I took that into my career, playing pro, trying to always help my teammates. And then coaching, it's, you know, hey, I have a lot of knowledge. I can help others and teach and get that fulfillment. And that to me was a turning point in my career and got me out of a certain mindset that I used to be in, and seeing that, I think, is probably one of the biggest moments for me at Alabama.
Well, that's a perfect way for us to wrap this up. That is awesome. I love that story. It kind of melds all your, like you said, kind of your playing and your coaching and that mindset together. So we're really grateful you joined us today on the Division One Softball Podcast, D1 Softball Podcast, with me and Tara. You have an open invitation anytime to come back. We're excited that you're a new softball coach at Cal State Northridge. Everyone will be, you know, fingers crossed. We'll see the team on the field this season coming up. And definitely would love to check in with you again as we get the games going. And we wish you the luck. And as I said, anytime you want to come back on, we're happy to make space on this podcast anytime.
Awesome. Thank you. Yes. Anytime, I would love to. And I appreciate you guys giving us this time, and we're excited for the program. And thank you guys. We really do appreciate it.
Here from Charlotte Morgan. She is just, it's great to hear from her, because she is honest and real. And like you said, very candid, and excited to see what she does at CSUN this next season.
Yeah, I just really love how, you know, she doesn't hide anything. She's not trying to pretend that she was, you know, I mean, she was a heck of a player, but there's a lot of stuff she said that she, you know, that she was hard-headed and hard-nosed and they butted heads. And, but that's life, right? And that's how, and she's learned from that. And I think she's going to be great there. I think that's a perfect spot for her. She's surrounded by family. It's, she knows the territory. So yeah, wishing her luck. It's going to be tough no matter what, though, with, you know, obviously everything, but I guess if you're going to take over a program, you might as well take it over during this time and just, you know, roll with the punches and figure out. But yeah, it's going to be fun to see what that program continues to be, because it's been a great, you know, it's had a history of greatness, it's always tough in that, you know, that area of the country to stand out. But I think she'll make some noise, and I think Cal State Northridge will be heard from a few times.
Yeah, and it's nice to hear that Tariah has been helping her out. Like you said, it's rare, I think, that a previous head coach kind of is able to help out the new head coach. And yeah, it's a pretty competitive area. You've got CSUN, you got LMU just down the road with Tariah, UCLA. But I do think she's going to excel there, and I'm excited to watch some games at Northridge, hopefully in 2021. And other news, Reed, talk to us about the ACC. I know you've been talking to a few coaches, and this week we went over a possible scheduling for season there. What are you hearing out of the ACC?
Yeah, and this all, we always do this with a disclaimer, right? This could change within like 10 seconds. So, as I talked to all the coaches, just, you know, and again, it has changed as I've talked to different ACC coaches throughout these last few weeks. But the latest, which was as of like Monday, which is when I got this, was just, you know, they want to play as many games as possible, which is not surprising, right? It's everything's fluid. Things could change. We see with this virus, it could change, you know, by the January, we're having the vaccine start to roll out. It's not going to be fully rolled out till, you know, maybe summer where everyone gets it, but there's progress being made there, even though we're in the midst of this hellacious time right now where it seems like everyone has COVID. But I do think there is some light at the end of the tunnel for at least the spring sports, thinking the weather will get better. It'll be outdoors. So they're trying to keep everything on the table. Their mindset is one of the things they want to send to the ADs. This is the softball coaches. They want to send this to the ADs to get approval, is to try to play like 35 to 40 conference games, keep some fluidity with possible 10 to 15 non-conference. And then since the Big Ten is most likely going to go all conference, we've had that out there. It's not really officially been approved because everyone's focused right now on basketball and football. But they, instead of the ACC Big Ten Challenge, they want to kind of bring all the ACC teams into an area and have like a pod-like challenge between the ACC teams. So you still get that tournament-like feel, but it's obviously within conference, so protocols are the same. It's regionalized. That's, like I said, that's one proposal they're going to send. And with the acknowledgement that it's fluid and things could change, and they're prepared to go completely conference only. I mean, they're fine with that. If that happens, they're not going to be shocked, but they want to leave in that flexibility. Like, hey, we're an area that we are more region. We have more teams within driving distance. We can do some regional play. So that's right now what they're going to plan to send to the ADs. But therefore they have other contingency plans too. This is like every conference. I mean, we talked about the SEC a few weeks ago. Everyone wants to get in as many games as they can. It's going to just depend on, you know, what the virus is like, what the numbers are like, what the protocols are like. But that, as of yesterday, which is, we're taping this Wednesday, as of Tuesday, that was the plan they were hoping to send off. And I think it's a really smart one, because you want to keep all, you know, until you have to cancel games, why cancel? The West is obviously a little different. They just have a lot more like restrictions and stricter pro with states and everything. So it's not going to be a one size fits all this year, but I think that's kind of what they're hoping for. And they want to give if it's safe to play, they want to be able to play as much as they can.
Well, and I think it's important to provide that tournament atmosphere as well. I think when you know, you're going on the road and facing teams for weekend series, you're not really getting that pre-conference tournament feel that you normally get. So if there's a way that conferences can potentially put that together, I think it's a good thing for teams and squads to be able to do that, because if there is a postseason, they're going to have some sort of, it's nice to have some sort of tournament play under your belts. So we'll keep an eye on that on the ACC and other various conferences, and keep you up to date on Twitter. Other than that, I think that's it for episode 15 of the D1 Softball Podcast. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, d1softball.com. We've got loads of fall reports, so subscribe, like, comment on Twitter, Facebook, and re-closing thoughts that are similar each week. What does everybody need to do?
Yeah, I think we kind of missed if we could. We just don't want to, like, you know, we didn't want to just keep. But, yeah, it's still the same, man. Wear a mask and social distance. I know it's going to, you know, the holidays are tough. You want to hug everyone. And I do too, but we can't until we get this cleared. So we just got to wear a mask and social distance. So it pains me that I have to keep saying this, and I'm sure you're all sick of me saying this, but I'm sure Dr. Fauci feels the same way and he's still having to say it. So let's all try to do it, you know, mask up. Softball players, you're used to masks at this point, so you're doing good. Let's get the fans, for their sake, so they can be on the field. Wear a mask and just be socially distant so we can stop this madness. And get back to life, you know, as normal as we can be. I mean, there's already so much that we've lost, but we can get back and we can save things if we do it now. So let's redouble our efforts.
Yeah, you heard it. You heard it here. Wear a mask. And previously we said 60 feet because that was the base path. So 60 feet, but
all for that, to be honest. The way people are doing it, like that, they may need that because they're like, so they don't know the 6 feet. They're just like, oh, okay, yeah. If we say 60, maybe they'll get within 10 and that'll be, you know, they'll still feel like they're breaking the law somehow.
60 feet, turn left. That was always the saying, that running the base path. So 60 feet, wear a mask. How about that?
Yeah, we're going 60 feet. That's, yeah. Hey, man, that's about my neighbor's Christmas decorations, which are, if you saw my neighbor's Christmas, I should post on our social media account. I've never seen so many blow up things, and it's all in my bedroom window. So these flashing lights, like, and music. I love that my neighbors are into it, but it's a lot. It is
going all out this year. Honestly, I don't even know if the grid's going to be able to handle it here in
it's
California.
It's like a Griswold Christmas out of my, but with blow up doll, like, you know, these big blow up snow. There's this huge snowman that I'm literally looking right now, and it's like, it's the size of like the Goodyear blimp is like out on my, and I'm always like, this is bizarre. Like, I mean, you know, and it's flashing lights and at night I'm trying to sleep and I'm like, oh gosh, but I'm all for it because if it makes them happy, I'll sacrifice a little sleep with the flashing snowman in my window.
Yeah. I mean, there's light shows, there's Candy Cane Lane over here and over in LA. It's fantastic. I'm all for it. And
it makes up for me because I have nothing. I mean, I'm a single woman that lives alone and I'm not even used to having a house. So I'm like, oh, wait, I can decorate. But I'm like, but I don't have anything. So yeah. I don't want to go shop. I'm just one of those that's kind of playing it safe. And I really don't want to order. So I'm just like, I'll just sit this year out and like, I can just look at my neighbor's house. So and still be in the spirit of it. So, but I will eventually get to where I maybe have a tree at some point and lights, but
you don't need just a little tree. You gotta
get snuck up on me. Like, honestly, every day is like, it's like Groundhog Day. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's almost Christmas, but it's too late. It's not too late, but I don't know. I just don't have my strong suit to decorate. You know, I'm just so used to living alone.
Maybe you could get a Christmas tree candle. So maybe that.
Yeah, I do have this. Yeah, I do have candles that smell, cause I like that pine scent. You know what though? This is cheap me talking. Christmas trees are expensive. I was like, when I was a kid, they're like $25, and now I'm like, they're like 80 for like a 4 foot tree.
Yeah.
And I'm like, do I want it to smell that much just for like $80? Like, I'll just buy a candle, which I'm doing. So this was a long rant that I don't know how we got started, but yeah.
Happy holidays, and we will see you next week on the D1 Softball Podcast.